Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. Today we're talking about mothers-in-law, narcissistic mothers-in-law, and how to deal with them. So a few weeks ago I received a request for an episode about how to deal with a narcissistic mother-in-law. This brought up a lot of reflections for me as I've observed this dynamic quite closely within my own family, where each partner that came in was assaulted with high degrees of narcissistic behavior by their in-laws. My personal experience with my own mother-in-law was quite a positive one overall, so she did have some narcissistic traits that we came to realize eventually when I started doing this work. But it was still a positive experience, and what I'm going to share with you, it's what I've implemented so that it was an easy relationship with her. Those are the tips that I'm going to share later about how to deal with a narcissistic mother-in-law, because yeah, what we did and how I worked with her made it like a beautiful relationship in the end. And I do miss her every day. This is not to say that you have to become besties with your narcissistic mother-in-law, but that your life can become a lot easier by implementing the few tips that I'm going to share later. The listener also asked if there is a difference between narcissistic mother-daughter relationship and narcissistic mother-in-law-daughter-in-law relationship. And there is one main difference. With a mother-in-law, there is no spell you're under, meaning you may very quickly see her for what she is, even if you don't know about narcissism. You may quickly notice how her behavior is off and very negative and unhelpful, and you may realize all this a lot quicker than her own daughters even would, if they ever even do. This is because you're not trauma bonded with her, as she's not your mother. That should make things easier, but it doesn't. Not always. And why is that? Because said narcissistic mother-in-law will have everyone else under her spell, and everyone will be telling you how lucky you are to have such a wonderful mother-in-law, and this may very well include your husband or wife. A narcissistic mother-in-law will often be more covert, sort of vulnerable type, because if she acted too grandiose, she knows this would too easily expose her. She can't behave in a way that becomes too obvious from the outside, or the spell will break and everyone will see her true face, especially with you. Again, not being trauma bonded, a mother can be way more in your face. Because she's your mother and you're going to take way more from her, way more abuse before you actually do something about it. And also a mother, a narcissistic mother, has reared you like that since a very young age. She's conditioned you to be sort of submissive, to feel guilty, to feel disempowered, to feel incapable. A mother-in-law is a different thing. You just met her when you're an adult. And if you haven't actually been through that with your mother, so you haven't even, you know, you don't even have those wounds within, like, it's going to be a whole different game. You'll be like, what? You'll be recognizing it a lot quicker. So she has to be a little bit more covert and in her ways. For you as a daughter-in-law, this can become a very lonely place to be, as you can become the only one who is not bewitched, adding to the challenges you are already experiencing in dealing with such an in-law. And it can also make you wonder if you're not the only one seeing this. Maybe you are getting it all wrong. Maybe you are the one that is at fault. You might be starting blaming yourself for the issues this relating is causing, and so on. And if your partner is also not seeing it, this can add to the whole thing, because they may start telling you that it's you causing the issues and that their mother is amazing and so on. So if you're feeling any of this, I get it, and I hope this episode will support you in gaining some clarity on this topic. So let's start by talking about how to recognize a narcissistic mother-in-law. What are the main signs? Then I'll share the few tips on how to deal with her. Here are 17 signs of how to recognize a narcissistic mother-in-law. First of all, a constant need for validation and appreciation for what she does for you and your family, even when her help was actually unrequested and unrequired. And this can be also backed up by a lot of bragging about what she does for others in general, sharing all the negative things people are going through and how she goes out of her way from the goodness of her heart to help them. And so again, need for validation and appreciation. Second point, taking credit for your successes. If you're doing anything good at all, it's always down to her advice or her help. And she will say that out loud a lot, especially in front of others. Number three, she's hypercritical and belittling of you as a person and of everything you do. And this can go any, like, I mean, you add your own personal version to this. But the whole bottom line is that she criticizes you and everything you do, no matter what. Number four, in turn, she's hypersensitive to criticism. So if you say something about her, no matter how nicely you land it or how appropriate it is for you to say it, she will overreact, making a huge drama about it. Number five, she uses passive-aggressive statements that you can clearly pick up as digs to you and your family or your way of doing things, such as, "Oh, your house is always so clean. Not having a job gives you a lot of time, I suppose." There you go, a dig at the fact that you're at home and not working. Or, "I love your dress. It must be hard to find one that suits you." Again, a dig at your maybe body shape. Number six, she's jealous if your parents and your other family, of your parents and of your other family members. So she competes with them for attention and compares how much time you spend with each set of in-laws. She will make drama about who you spend the main holidays with, for example, and so on, who gets invited to birthdays and whatever. Number seven, like every other narcissist, she believes she holds the truth. She is never wrong. And if you can't see that, there must be something wrong with you. Number eight, she triangulates between yourself and your husband or wife, causing contrast between the two of you. And she thrives in that contrast. That's number nine. She seems to thrive when there's conflict, getting super excited to listen to all your drama. She seems like she's your best friend in those moments, only to use it against you later. So you may notice that the only way to get her interest and attention is to report some drama. Then you'll have her attention. But that's because she's collecting ammunition. Number 10. She oversteps boundaries, always with a very valid excuse, like she's doing it out of love for you and your family. Or maybe because she's in need of something that you can't argue with. So your boundaries count for nothing. Number 11, if there are grandchildren involved, she wants to be the favorite grandmother, and in turn, she will have a favorite grandchild. She won't respect any boundaries or rules you set, disregarding the fact that you are the actual mother, with the excuse that she has more experience and knows better. If this resonates with you, check out the episode 14 Signs of a Narcissistic Grandmother and How to Deal with Her, because this might help you dealing with her when it comes down to her grandchildren. Number 12, she can play victim, pretending to be extremely fragile and in constant need for support, disrupting your family life completely. 13, she can give you the silence treatment or suddenly disappear for months at a time as some kind of punishment or to get attention. That's something that can happen, like all of a sudden she's not calling and she's not reaching out, and this could go on for weeks and weeks at the time. And you, especially if there's grandchildren involved, you need to start explaining to the grandchildren what's happening, and that can be very difficult, and that is just a way for her to get attention. Because when she comes back, you're going to ask her questions, you're going to want to know, maybe you might even give out to her, but that's all attention. Remember, for a narcissist, negative attention is always attention anyways. Number 14, selective support. She will only help when it suits her, disregarding when you have a real need. Actually, if you have a real need and you go asking for her to support you, she might give out to you and sort of criticize you and say you're weak and that was actually not a need. And then when she was your age and she was doing all those things and a lot more and she never needed any help and she did it all by herself. But then when you don't need support, she completely breaches your boundaries and comes in and gives unrequested help. Number 15, having a golden daughter-in-law. So a favorite one who fits the criteria she values and who makes her look good in the eyes of others. So if there's more than one daughter-in-law, this can happen. She has a favorite one, which can also change. It mightn't remain the same all the time, but she has a favorite one and everyone else is bad compared to her. And this can be challenging for the golden daughter-in-law as well, because it's quite intense to be the one that is the favorite. Because remember, if you are the favorite, you are the one that has to remain within those criteria. If you step out of line, you fall out of graces very, very quickly. So it's challenging for both the favorite one and the one that is not the favorite. Number 16, when confronted on something, she's not beyond telling lies. I never did such a thing. How can you be so mean and accuse me like this? Especially if you're confronting her in front of others. And this could make her look bad in the eyes of others. So she will lie outright. Number 17. And like every narcissist, she has no empathy other than when it suits her. Like when she's pretending to listen to you and your drama to collect ammunition. That is cognitive empathy. There is an episode on that about narcissistic mother. Do they have empathy? You can look it up. But that explains the difference between the cognitive empathy and actually what's the real empathy. And how she's viewed publicly is very important to her. So again, everything about you reflects on her somehow. So what she ultimately needs is to look good in front of others, and she won't care about you as long as she's looking good in front of others. So now that we went through all of these signs, does any of this sound familiar? Is any of what's described part of your experience with your mother-in-law? You can let me know in the comments or share with me your experience and questions via email. The email address is always in the description of the episode. And again, it mightn't be that every single sign that I've listed there, it's going to apply to your mother-in-law. There might be some that do and some that don't. So just take what serves and leave the rest. But how can we deal with such a mother-in-law? Because that's extremely challenging. It can be extremely disruptive of your family life. It can drive your marriage to destruction, really. Like, it can be extremely intense. I've seen in my own family the mothers-in-law, so my grandmother, for when she was the in-law of my dad, and my great-grandmother, it was intense. It was very intense. And in my family, there's more divorces. Actually, I believe myself and my sister are the first ones that are still with her husband. Everyone else, it's multiple divorces, not even just one. So the in-laws played a very, very, very big part in all of that. And we can argue with, are they causing the breakups or not? That's an opinion. I mean, one can talk about it forever. But the one thing that they definitely will do, as we said, they thrive in drama. So if there is drama or if there is some conflict, they're not going to try and stop that, but they're going to actually put petrol on the fire. because then they're needed, then they're appreciated, then they can collect ammunitions for their own needs and so on. So it's very intense. So here are 7 tips to help you with this, to help you dealing with a narcissistic mother-in-law. So the first thing is to become aware of her narcissistic behavior. As always, inform yourself so you can be objective. This will not only help you directly dealing with it, but also in communicating with your husband or wife about it. They may already be on your side on this, and so that's amazing. And if that's the case, you can gain more clarity together by getting well informed about the topic. But often this may not be the case, and they may be the one defending their mother, which can get very intense. So in this case, the more objective information you have, the more are the chances to making them see. And again, ultimately, you don't even have to convince your partner, your husband or wife, of the situation if you can get the rest on point. But it is easier. It is easier. The more you can have the other person on board, of course, the easier it gets. So if you can at all have a conversation, if there is an openness to a conversation about this, the more objective information you have, rather than being a lot of very emotional, which I get is an emotional topic, but if you get very emotional, that can get more complicated, and the communication might not actually be objective, and there can be reactivity from the other side. So the more you can be objective about it, the more you can bring information to the other person, such as this episode or any other information that you find out there, then it's easier for them to see and start understanding what your experience of it is and where you're coming from. Point number 2, accept you can't change her. It's not down to you to make her see or understand how negative and toxic her behavior is. Going down this road will only lead you to endless confusing conversation, a lot of hurt and frustration for you. And when I say confusing conversations, this is something narcissists do, and a narcissistic mother-in-law is no exception. If you try and confront her, which you can go with the drama and make a big fuss about it and make you look bad in front of everyone because she has to look good, but she can also drag you along in this sort of crazy, confusing conversation. And I've seen that in my family so many times, where they seem they're listening to you. She seems she's listening to you, but she's not. And she's actually just steering the conversation, maybe dragging things from the past that are completely out of context, or like making comments that just make no rational sense. And it gets very messy, and you think you're going places, but you're actually not. And these conversations can go on for hours. I've been in conversations like this for 3-4 hours at the time, and I came out like so confused and with such an array of emotions and none of them feeling good. So explaining and trying to make her understand if she's a narcissist, it's not really gonna work. Accepting you can't change her, it's a lot more helpful for you. Third point, set boundaries using the formula. First of all, set boundaries around yourself. No justification, no explanation, and no reaction. For example, if she doesn't respect rules you have with your children when you're not around, telling her, "Oh, you're such a bad grandmother. You're not respecting any of our rules." That's not a boundary. And there's a lot of emotional reactivity there. So it will not make a difference. I'm not saying that you're not, I mean, that it's not natural to feel like that and to want to say that and to be emotional about it, but it will not make a difference. So once you realize that this is the case, set a boundary for yourself, and don't leave your mother-in-law unsupervised with your children. And I know that this sounds terrible because you might be, but I need to, or, but it's sad that I can't. And I get it. It is very sad that you can't. And I totally understand that. It's been very sad for me never to be able to go to grandparents either set. and leave my children with them ever. But that was a boundary we set for ourselves. Like when our eldest was two, we decided, okay, that's not the case. It's never gonna happen. It's unsafe, for the child and for us. So we're gonna visit, but we're gonna visit together. We're never gonna leave them there like other families do. And that's just it. That had to be set as a boundary. If she misbehaves, for example, when you visit, have clear boundaries with the time you're going to be there and the time when you leave. So the side of a visit time length that works, that you know that in that amount of time, there's less chances that she's gonna misbehave. Or you can also set conditions with her. Very straightforward conversation without emotional reactivity and without justifying or explaining. But if you do such and such, then we will leave immediately. So, for example, if you have rules with your children that she breaks, or things that she don't want to talk about and she does, it's like, if you do this, then we will leave immediately and you won't see us for whatever amount of time, and then let her have whatever emotional reaction she wants to have. That's her story, that's her problem. You set your boundaries. Point number four, stop blaming yourself. If you are at all, just it's not helpful because you're not wrong in any of this, or faulty, or even a bad person for the way this relationship is going. You have the absolute right to protect yourself, your marriage, and your kids, if you have them, from all of this. So none of this is your fault. If you have a narcissistic mother-in-law that behaves the ways we've described earlier, none of it is your fault. None of it is because you've done something wrong at some point. That's all her story, her choices, and you have your own choices that you can make to empower yourself. Stand your ground. That's tip number five. Stand your ground. Be politely assertive on things that matter to you. Not to be argumentative or to convince her, as we said earlier, but to make your point when necessary for you and for your family. So when there's something that's really important, a point that needs to be made that you know is important, be very assertive. Again, you don't need to go in trying to convince her, in trying to make her understand. You just make your point. No, we're not going to spend Christmas together because we're going to spend it together as a family. Myself, my partner, and my children. That's it. Assertive. No, you're not going to do my laundry today. I do it by myself. That's it. Full stop. If are things that are important to you, in the same way, pick your battles wisely. If it's not so important, let it go. Because this can happen when there's someone that is constantly intruding, someone that is constantly behaving in a way that is kind of toxic and helpful and annoying even. We tend to get very reactive about everything because we're not assertive on the things that are important to us. Then we start getting assertive-ish on things that actually we don't really matter an awful lot at all. Like, so this just brings on conflict and on conflict on conflict on conflict, and it's unhelpful again. So decide what you are okay with, that you can be fine with, that is not such a big deal, and what completely you're not okay with, based on what feels right to you and what doesn't, and stick with it. Like I notice, for example, I go with my own experience on this, that this is not my mother-in-law, this is a different member of my family, but that would come in and would do certain amounts of tidying up in my house. And that used to trigger me an awful lot. And what I realized after a while was that it was triggering me because I felt that then meant I was inadequate. So if this person came in tidying up my house, not major tidying up, but you know, it could dust a few cupboards or like, you know, do actually was great because she was doing things that I would never do. She was doing the awkward jobs that they're not the normal maintenance of keeping a house clean and that I would never actually do. But yet I felt like I'm inadequate and I'm obviously not doing a good job if this person needs to come in and do it for me. So she's actually judging me. I got to a place where I realized that and I was like, you know what? I don't feel that inadequate in myself anymore. So I don't actually care if she wants to dust my cupboards. I mean, if that keeps her busy for a couple of hours and she's happy doing it, I'm actually going to take it as great support because this is actually really supportive. Because I would never do that job. I have other things to do. I have children and lots of pets and lots of stuff, my work. So great. So that's what I mean by pick your battles wisely. Some things are really a no. You know, like some things are really, you know, my bedroom, you're not coming in it and you're not tidying up my things and my wardrobes and my stuff. No, that's a no. That's an absolute no. That's a bright line in the sand. No. But if you want to go in the kitchen and dust the cupboards, I don't care. Knock yourself out. That way you can be assertive on the things that matter and you can be more chilled on the ones that don't matter that much. And it brings some kind of a balance. And it mainly, this is not for the other person, but mainly that's for you. It keeps your system with some kind of ease. That it starts bringing ease and it gets better. Next point, offer your mother-in-law absolutely no emotional reaction to her behaviors and to her provocations. So let her meet a stone, effectively. Like if you've heard about the gray rock technique, that's what that is. So whatever she comes at you with, whatever emotional reactivity she throws at you, whatever tantrums and drama and whatever, it's like nothing touches you. It's like be completely like a stone, effectively. No, like, we're not gonna do that today. I'm not gonna dance on this emotional drama with you today. You keep doing whatever. You know, it's like seeing a monkey going mental on one side and the other one just sitting there, like completely minding her own business. That's what you wanna do. The more you can do that, the better. Any emotional reaction you give them, it's ammunition and it's attention. When they get an emotional reaction out of you, an outburst of rage or tears or, you're always like that and you treat me like this and what have I ever done to you? Or any of that, which I get it. It's totally valid. I mean, feeling those emotions, I get that they're there. So there's nothing wrong with you for feeling them. It's showing those emotions to her that's not helpful. Because that's attention. Again, she's drinking that all in. She got the point. She got you unsettled. She got you unhinged. That's what she wants. Especially if in front of others. So then she has a great story to tell of how weird her daughter-in-law is. Look how she reacts when there's no need to react that way. So again, you're feeding her story. And it's not helpful. And then last, final point, seek support when necessary. So I know the feeling of loneliness in all of this, the feeling of no one else getting what you're seeing, feeling like maybe you're the only one and maybe you're the one in the wrong and all of that that we mentioned earlier. When you are sharing with other people that have been in similar situations or they currently are in similar situations that they can understand where you're coming from, that they're not looking at you like you've got three heads, but actually they get, yes, I get that it's not obvious that behavior is toxic, but we know because we've been through that. That's really, really helpful. And also seek support in places not where people just want to come together and rant about their mothers-in-law, the same as the narcissistic mothers. I've been in places like that. That's not helpful. It might seem helpful because we can all rant together, but ultimately that doesn't sort anything. Seek support in places where there is a conscious choice to actually do what's helpful. and to actually improve the situation and do inner self-work, because ultimately, remember, triggers are inside of you. So yes, of course, this person is behaving in ways that are unhelpful and toxic. So that's an undeniable fact. But also, there's triggers within us. So the more you can work on those, the more you can recognize them and learn about them, the more you can deal with the outer situation with a lot more ease. So that when you find somewhere that a place, a safe place, or be it a therapist, be it a guide, be it a support group, be it a women's circle, whatever that is, that works for you. Find a place where not only you can speak to it and be understood, but also where the common goal is to work with this and make the situation better for yourself and for your family. So that's it. That's all for today. Check out the description of the episode for every link. There's a link for the free self-love guided practice. That's there, accessible for everyone. And there's the link for the 10 weeks one-on-one program with me and for the women's circles. So if you're interested in any of that, or in knowing more, you can check the description of the episode. And also the email address is there, so that if you have questions on this, you can email me directly. And with that, I send you lots of love, and bye for now.